What if I told you the success of the Normandy landings hinged on a weather prediction? Yeah, a forecast decided the biggest invasion in history. Hey, it's Vixie here, feeling ready to dive into some mind-blowing history today. And before some armchair general pipes up, listen, I'm talking facts and vibes, not fan fiction.
All right, let's get into it. D-Day, 6th of June, 1944. Operation Neptune, the first punch of Operation Overlord. The Allies threw the largest seaborne invasion ever at Nazi-occupied France. We are talking nearly 7,000 ships and craft, 5 beaches spanning 50 miles, and airborne drops on both flanks to lock the doors on German counterattacks. Utah and Omaha were American, Gold and Sword were British, Juno was Canadian. Biggest show on water and in the sky, period.
Here's the setup. By late 1943 and early 1944, the plan balloons from 3 assault divisions to 5 plus 3 airborne. Because, look, if you only hit one spot, the Germans smash you. Wider front, more risk on shipping, but better odds. Meanwhile, the Allies crank deception to 11. Operation Bodyguard with Fortitude South, that fake 1st US Army group under George Patton, phony radio chatter, dummy camps, the works. They made Germany bet on Pas-de-Calais, while the real punch aimed at Normandy.
And the night before, they throw glitter at the radar. Operations Taxable and Glimmer drop chaff to fake fleets near Le Havre and Boulogne. The SAS tosses dummy paratroopers with sound effects. German radar is already battered. Confusion everywhere. Minesweepers roll in the dark and clear lanes so the Armada does not die on the way in. That part gets no glory, but without it, everyone's fish food. Respect where it's due.
Now the chaos! Airborne pathfinders hit cloud. Beacons are off and drops scatter. US 101st and 82nd land all over the bocage and swamps, and somehow they still seize Sainte-Mère-Église and choke key causeways behind Utah. British gliders, sharp as a knife, drop in and grab the Caen Canal and Orne River bridges, later dubbed Pegasus and Horsa. That anchors the eastern flank. The Merville Battery gets wrecked at dawn by a reduced British 9th Battalion force. Not the monster guns expected, but still a threat silenced. Honestly, for real, that steel-nerved stuff.
On the beaches, the sea is nasty. Wind and current shove landings off target. At Utah, that drift is a weird gift. Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt Jr. just says, "We're hitting here, and it freaking works." Lighter defences, quick exits, minimal casualties. At Omaha, the same drift is a nightmare. The German 352nd Infantry Division is there, surprise. Many DD tanks sink in the chop. Bombing overshoots, obstacles are intact, sandbars force guys to wade under machine gun and mortar fire. It's hell. By midday, destroyers shove in close and hammer strong points. Small units claw through draws and finally get off the sand. Bloody hell, that was a near thing.
Up the coast, the Brits and Canadians grind through fortified villages at Gold, Juno and Sword. Hobart's funnies roll in. AVREs drop petard charges into bunkers. Mine flails dance. Naval guns smack the Longue-sur-Mer battery and knock out most of its teeth. At La Hamel, an AVRE blows the rear door off a strong point. That's how you solve a concrete problem with a very loud answer. And the rangers at Pointe du Hoc, listen. They climb cliffs under fire, find the guns moved inland, track them to an orchard, and blow them to scrap. That is rock and roll.
By the end of D-Day, all 5 beachheads exist, but they're not one big happy family. Only Gold and Juno touch. The full link-up takes until 12th of June. And here's your weather mic drop. Group Captain James Stagg says there's a narrow gap on the 6th, so Eisenhower rolls the dice. If he waits for the 18th to 20th June tides, a monster storm on the 19th smashes the channel. Landings would have been impossible. The whole timetable to liberate Western Europe, blown. The invasion rides a forecast. That's not luck. That's dominance of Atlantic weather data and guts to act.
Let's talk people. Eisenhower. Supreme Commander,
the guy who has to green light sending thousands into the teeth of the Atlantic Wall. He is no corporate robot, mate. That 24-hour delay on the 5th June, then the go for the 6th, that's risk with reason. He weighs the moon for airborne, the tide for obstacles, the wind for waves. The Luftwaffe being gutted by point blank, and German reserves glued to Calais by fortitude. He makes the call, knowing if it goes sideways, the world will carve his name into the blame. That is leadership, not a committee PowerPoint.
Big controversial question time. German D-Day casualties, 4,000 to 9,000. Why the range? I shouldn't have to say this, but here we fucking are. 1. Chaotic battlefield conditions. Units shattered, reports lost, bodies buried by bombardment, withdrawals under fire. 2. Fragmented reporting. Western Front Command was stretched, returns overlap, killed, wounded, missing, captured, and some records never made it past the next air raid. 3. Post-war reconstruction. Historians are stitching together inconsistent archives, prison accounts, and after-action notes, while fronts moved and units dissolved. War is messy. Data dies in the mud.
For context, Allied casualties are at least 10,000 that day, with 4,414 confirmed dead and roughly 2,000 at Omaha alone. And yet the lodgment holds, because air supremacy strangles German movement, resistance sabotages rails all over France, and those destroyers come in close enough to read serial numbers on bunkers. If you disagree, tell me why in the comments. Bring sources, not vibes.
Speaking of weather, quick tangent inspired by that bit. I once dodged a coastal road disaster because a grumpy old weather app screamed storm in 30 minutes. I cut my show short, bolt inland, and 5 minutes later that route turns into a bathtub. Jesus Christ, the only reason I am here yelling in your ears is a forecast. Multiply that by hundreds of thousands of lives and a cross-channel armada, that's D-Day. Call me when people grow a spine about respecting science.
Moving on before I break something, planning war is gambling with weather, steel and blood. The Allies stack the deck. Deception, minesweeping at night, airborne to block the flanks, specialised armour for the obstacles and a fleet that could reach out and smash a casemate. The Germans were not clowns. They had mines, obstacles, concrete and real killers in those strong points. But they were under strength, short on mobility and blinded by Allied air. That's how Neptune punches through.
Alright, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Unpredictable seas, scattered drops, screaming radios, and some poor destroyer captain threading between beach obstacles to point blank a gun embrasure. To be fair, that is the good shit right here, but also, fucking hell, the margin was razor thin. Alright, that's all I got. Go do something useful, and tune in tomorrow for more insanity. Respect where it's due to the people who stood on those decks and beaches, and to the forecasters who bought them a window. That's what I'm talking about.